Hi there. Happy Sunday and welcome to Enter the Light. I'm Lynn Bleasdale and I'm here with Tony Jorgensen, Jessica Marie Tatro, and Hawk D'Onofrio. Oh, Marianne, you're on with us too. We always have you working on Sunday. Marianne Adams, thank goodness, is with us. Yeah, no, I know mostly you have to work Sundays, so it's really nice to have you. Thank you, team. Yeah. That's wonderful. Did I miss anyone? Gapping out already. The show just started. Oh, wow. So we're looking at the different types of grief that we experience in this human journey. And truly so, we are all just walking each other home. No matter who you are, no matter where you live, no matter what kind of person you are, we are all just walking each other home. So, if you guys don't mind, I'd like to just go around the circle and let's hear everybody's take on grief. The original topic had been the grief we experience when it's people close to us, like our caregivers, our loved ones, our, you know, people that are like really close, family members and friends that are as good as family. And there's a different intensity in the grief. It's not that we don't care about others, but when those people are meaningful in our lives, it's an extra hit that we take. So, Hawk, do you mind if I start with you this week?
I guess so. Let's do it.
Let's do it, yeah.
I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned through grief. And I think we should just talk about what most likely we're going to lead into. But definitely with family and close friends, when you lose them, it's really hard. And I think the lessons are there in that what happens is we start focusing on the past. We start creating fantastical futures that aren't real. And so then we get taken out of the moment. I've been through quite a bit of grief, as well as anyone else. And a lot of fear starts to pop up, a lot of asking why. Mm. And I think it's just really important to remember that we chose to be here in these bodies. We chose to go through these lessons. And what's really helped me getting through these things is realizing that we decided to come here and do this and experience physical bodies that do die. But it's about having that faith that it's all okay on the other side. We are souls that have bodies. We're not bodies that have souls. We're souls first. So just though, even though we came into these physical incarnations for a brief moment of time, we did it to learn the lessons. And part of it is the pain. I think we experience grief and pain so that we can learn from it and heal from it so that then we can teach others how to heal from it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I see it, is that as long as you remember that we are souls and on the other side, it's all good. It's only here that we experience this pain in time. But eternity is a lot longer than this brief moment.
Yeah. Did we just
anyone like to take it forward? I can cap it off at the end too.
Yeah, no,
sure, I can.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Do. Yeah, go for it, Jessica.
Okay. Goodness, yes, the amount of grief on, you know, the planet we live here on is, I think it's multifaceted, you know, and I hear what Hawk is saying too. It's experienced for the sake of our soul's growth, not only our soul's growth, but within that grief, within that experience of grief, we can also understand how others feel when they go through grief. And grief can range from, you know, the loss of a relationship, to a job, to, you know, financial loss, to losing loved ones or friends, or, but in the bigger picture, the zoomed out picture of it, is that they merely only lose the physical vessel that they came in with, and they just almost transform into spirit, but they're there and they're alive, they're with us. But it's, I understand how we as humans can get lost in that grief. What we used to see, which is physical, we no longer see with our eyes, but then we learn to experience it within our heart and soul through energy. If you're sensitive to energy and, communication with spirit, it's really, really, really fascinating. I know that my son came to me, Jaden came to me right away after he transitioned home and then like popped right back down. Jaden really helped me a lot through the grief because we do grieve on a physical level, even though it's not necessary. It does teach us a lot from that. And he wouldn't allow me to get stuck in it though. He, in the beginning, you know, when it was first new and that pain is so deep, he would come sit down on my mattress next to me, and I'd see the mattress go down in the spot where he sat, and I could feel his hand, very physical and tangible, and he'd just sit there and very patiently hold my hand while I cried and grieved my hardest days. And it was truly amazing, and it truly made me realize that there was so much more to life than most of us understand. And wow, I really went on there. So I'll pass the mic. Go ahead, Tony.
Sure. No, that was great because I feel the same way. And then I also feel that Hawks also, I can register with what he said. But so my grief is very new, like Hawks. I mean, Hawks been through more grief than I have, I think. But, It is very, very painful until, like you said, Jessica, when you finally figure out that not seeing the physical person is going to be okay because the soul is with you. Yeah. And so until you get to that point, if you can do it very quickly, then more power to you. I mean, it's taken me a couple of months, but I feel that it's happened to me fairly quick to where I can put the grief aside and be able to let my mom back in her new, you know, capacity. And you're right. I mean, I actually feel her more than when she was alive, because I was always feeling guilty. Oh, I got to go see mom today. You know, I didn't get have time to see mom, but now it's like so much better because she's right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel where with her, she had Alzheimer's. So we really couldn't communicate that well. It was just like laughing and kidding around because she had become a child again. But now I feel that I can communicate with her much better and ask her and actually talk to her. I felt the same way about my dad, to where I really couldn't communicate with him as well when he was in the body, that I could do better in the soul. So I think you both are right. It's really hard to get over grief because I feel we're kind of selfish and we want that physical person, you know. We want everybody around us. We don't want anybody to leave. We just want our life the way it is, our family the way it is, and nothing. Yeah. It's like, don't change. Please don't change, because then we have to think differently. You know, we have to think different and outside of the box. But honestly, being around you guys and discovering all of this, it makes so much more sense. And it's actually it makes more sense. So, Marianne, I know you have a similar thing happen to you. So, are you there?
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. I mute myself in between. I'm here. Absolutely just the same way. My dad passed away last year, and it's been so incredibly hard. I've looked at it a different way than I ever have before. It's been a struggle, but I saw something on I think it was Facebook. It was talking about it was an excerpt from a book where it was talking about how after somebody passes, you're kind of in two different places at once. You're here with on Earth, but then it's like you're part of you is still with them. So it's like you're in two different places for a while, and that's very true.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
good. That's
good for me.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How are you doing with that, Marianne? How is it progressing for you?
It's changing. One thing I've learned, because my big strong point is mental health. It's the world that I live in and I work in. Grief never. One thing that's misunderstood is that grief doesn't get easy. You just learn a different normal.
Right.
So, I've heard people say, "Oh, well, gosh, it's been how long ago had your dad passed?" And because it's almost like people expect there to be a timeline. Okay, so aren't you over that? And there's no limit. It never gets easy. It never goes away. It never gets easier. I think you just learn different tools on how to work with it and look at it a different way. And so that's been
people do expect you to be over it quickly. Like if you work like a corporate job or work, you have 4 days. So, I mean, you have 4 days for grief or go to a funeral or something. So people think automatically in 4 days, you know what I'm saying? That you're going to be over it. It's like, what's wrong with everybody? Yeah.
Yeah.
I like this phrase. It's not that we move on, we carry on. Because we
always carry
it with us. Right. That's the way I see grief, is that it's not about moving on. And that brings me to a reminder, allow yourself to feel. We took these bodies to have emotions, the good and the bad. It's just that when you hold on to the ones that we deem as negative, it starts to act as a poison within yourself that you then spread. So it's about seeing it, feeling it, naming it, which would be the yang for anybody that's really good at feeling. And then for the others that are really good at naming it, feel it. And then you'll be whole and you will let it go.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
very
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to add what my mother has added.
She
agreed with us about being able to feel my grandmother, my aunt, and my mom's mother. And she said, yes, I didn't believe when Connie passed, who is my aunt, so their sister. But I continued to talk to her just like I do now with Mom, George, who was my step-grandfather, so their stepdad, and then our biological dad. Although now I find myself feeling her and all of them as intensely as I do feel Mom now, I still cry when I talk about them. But that is only because I'm happy to have spent those moments with them, I feel. And that's the evolution, right? With Nanny, my grandmother, her death was different for all three of us. Instead of like tears and grief, it was like tears of joy that her soul was being released. That she was freer to be her more authentic self, even if it wasn't here in this incarnation.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, and I want to add this too. There's another anecdote. I was working a job where I was selling phones, but I wasn't focused on selling phones. I was focused on healing everybody as they came into the store as quickly as I could. And there was one lady who had lost her husband pretty recently. And I kept asking her, do you talk to him? And she said, I pray to him all the time. The next question I asked was, do you listen? Do you hear him? And her answer would always be, I pray to him all the time. And so there I saw that there was an ego block. There was fear from allowing the other side to communicate back. And I knew that she could release so much pain if she prayed, said what she wanted to say aloud, and then quieted down her mind to just see what messages came through. So that's a tip for everyone through grief. And that totally goes along with our show last week and what we were talking about. So I love that we are just kind of continuing this theme and growth and evolution and enlightenment. Anyways.
Oh, anyone that's else? That's really awesome. Well, we have Linda's message. And as we listen to this message and ask you guys to pay attention to any scent that comes through for you. Clairnaissance, I think it's called. Clairnaissance.
I gotta look it up.
I think it's Clairnaissance. But anyway, pay attention to any scents that come through to you when we play this. So here we go.
The call came in at 11:30 p.m. on March 18, 2003. After a brief conversation with my aunt, I hung up, walked away in a daze, and a few minutes later announced, "I am an orphan." This is Linda Irwin, and I am going to share with you a personal story and how when you think your dad or other loved one has passed on and left you behind forever, you will learn that is not the case. The ensuing days would be filled with laundry, packing, driving 2 days to get to where my dad lived, meeting up with my aunt, setting things for his memorial, and having the memorial. My aunt was concerned that my dad had not left a will. I knew it was not necessary because he would guide me through everything in his non-physical form. As I sorted through all of his belongings, he arranged it that people who needed to be there when I could get something to them would show up. That happened with a blank birthday card for my aunt that my dad had not filled out and mailed yet. That happened with his roommate coming by just as I ran across a rent check Dad had not yet time to cash yet, so he got it back. There were vocal events as well. When in a gas station, I went in to check the lottery tickets my dad had not had time to check. As I was standing behind an elderly lady at the convenience store counter, I heard the salesperson say in the exact tonation as my dad would address older ladies that got on his shuttle bus, "Hello there, young lady. How are you?" This was not the case when I got up to the counter. It was a demonstration of my dad and his daily life he wanted me to hear. I rushed to our freshly gassed-filled Bronco and exclaimed the experience to my husband, Jim. As we pulled out of the gas station, I heard on the radio station two people talking. "We are going to play our word game of the day for your chance to win. The word of the day starts with P, as in Paul." Did he hear that? My dad's name was Paul Word. Memorial Day, I was placing his ashes at the foot of his older brother's grave. As I bent down in my head, I heard, "Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. If you don't take it out and use it, it'll rust." An instant later, Jim uttered those same words a few feet away. After the house was sold and the last of his belongings were with us, as we returned from our last trip, we were giving my in-laws his bedroom furniture. Now I know I cleaned and checked all of the drawers thoroughly. There was a single pair of my dad's black dress socks, which I have to this day. The night we returned, Jim went to bed and I came in and sat down by the computer. In a bedroom we used as a guest room, the clock radio came on and I heard Eleanor Rigby playing. It was at the part of, "Ah, look at all the lonely people." I shared this message knowing that Dad meant he had seen all of the heartbroken people who attended his memorial service. Jim said it was probably a coincidence and the clock was set to come on. Dad, in his inimitable "I'll show you" style, waited for Jim to shut down all of the components, the satellite box, the television, and the receiver. Jim had just made it into the bedroom as I was once again coming in to sit down at the computer when all of a sudden everything turned back on and at a much louder level. A few days later, we would be in the grocery store and I would happen to glance at a wire bin that had closeout items like half price or less non-perishable groceries. On top of those was a book entitled A Day Late and a Dollar Short, my dad's favorite saying. I am asked if I took the book, and I did not. I am sure it belonged to someone. It was simply placed there as a message. There are other little signs that he has been with me over these last two decades plus, but just know that if you are open to the signs, you will get them, and some of them might be downright humorous.
He is still here.
Who is still here?
Oh, Grandpa.
You know what? You are right. By the way, Grandpa thinks you two are pretty cute.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you.
Not everyone is going to grieve in the same way, and that is okay. Allow yourself to experience the process, but please know that they are not gone forever. It is my hope that you get all of the affirming signs that I have been and still am lucky to be getting. If you ever need any assistance in processing your grief, please reach out to Enter the Light and the entire Sacred Embers Network. Take care.
Wow. Beautiful.
She's so cute. I know.
I love her.
I love those emotes.
Linda does, she also added in chat, this is from Linda, uh-huh. and I think yeah. she wrote this when Hawk was talking about the joy. She says, I know those tears of joy. My dad, mm-hmm. it was this, with her dad, it was the same way. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she understands.
Yeah.
Okay, so what senses? Is it senses that we're supposed to be feeling?
Well, I definitely caught the whiff. Paul shows up with the lovely smell of coffee cake. And
yeah.
I have experienced this before. And as Linda was talking, or as we were listening to her recording, it was like, yeah, I got the whiff of like, coffee cake. Well, it's baked goods, and it's the sweet sugary smell that
I got strawberries.
There you go. There's something. There's a sweet smell you're going to get.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's amazing. And
that's what I got now. But I'm wanting them so bad right now. I don't know if strawberries smell, but I am craving strawberries right now. Like a strawberry cake. Yeah.
Have you got strawberries in Utah? I don't know what you guys grow there.
No, I don't think so, but I want some.
Yeah.
Yeah, we grow strawberries. You guys are getting it, though. I'm smelling like some sort of sweetness, like a sweet cake or something. So, yeah there's definitely a sweetness there.
Yeah, and Elizabeth is picking up lime, like key lime, which is, again, the baked good smell. Absolutely. Fabulous.
I also got very cold at one point. I got really cold chills at one point. Did anybody else get that? Like the air condition was full blast, but it's not even on. I don't see it on.
Well, that's probably the way you receive the thing. I've connected with Linda's dad before, so it's kind of I don't get cold, but I know what you mean about those chills. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're familiar because I feel I've connected with him before, too, when I've gone space. I call it space riding or riding in space because on our little trips, like I feel that I've met him in the past or future. I don't know. Yeah.
Elizabeth said when Linda was talking about socks, she smelled dirty socks.
Oh my god,
that's hilarious. I suspect
Hawk and Marianne,
that was. Did you catch a whiff there, Marianne? Of socks or cake or socks?
No, I didn't get anything. Sorry.
That's okay.
I didn't get anything either, and I'm so jealous of you developing those abilities. And I did play along. But
well,
I think that's what's great is that you all are so intuitive, and I'm like fighting my way into intuition. I get the claircognizance, but the clairsentience is what I'm really working on.
I scare the shit out of myself sometimes, like yesterday. So I wrote down on my Facebook page, I am so psychic, sometimes it scares me. So we're doing this art show at this rodeo in this little town called Tooele, and it's the Bitten Spur Rodeo. So all week, my daughter's like, what spot are we going to get a good spot? What spot do you think we're going to get? I said, we're going to get under the bleachers. I know exactly where our spot is. She's like, Mom, I don't want that spot. I'm like, trust me, we need this spot because it's under the bleachers and it's going to be 100 degrees. So everybody will see us because they have to go around us to get up to the rodeo. Sure enough, we pull in. I walked right over to the spot, and she's looking on the other end. So I'm like, here it is. And it, sure enough, it said Crazy Horse Creations right there. So I was like laughing about it because I already knew.
It's so cool.
I love it.
And Fallon was pissed off, but I loved it. So,
yeah. Well, for Hawk, you know, there's a reason that we have time, and that's to keep everything from happening at once.
Agreed. Totally.
Yeah.
Time is a teaching tool. And as soon as you respect the teaching tool that is time, like when I meditate, I feel like I'm out of time. And I do get certain things and abilities that I'm like super proud of now. But yeah, these clairs, like the smelling and the seeing, most of it for me is all mental. And I attribute that to having come to this whole world from the mental side, not the feeling side.
I came from the feeling side. Your mom and I are definitely came from the feeling side.
Feelers, for sure. And I had to like convince myself and actually understand it first. And then I started trying to feel it and it came through, but it's
because you're analytical. I think Marianne's a feeler. I think Lynn, you're probably, are you a feeler or you're also analytical, aren't you? I think Linda is.
I kind of got both going on, really.
Yeah, and Jessica's totally a feeler, I feel. Like,
Got a little bit of the analytics, but more, emotion, feeling, and
Yeah, because the way you speak is analytical, but plus it's both. So I only have one side. I live on pure emotions. I wish I had more analytical.
Well, you can. Just, say that, manifest, you know what I mean? Like it.
Yeah, exactly.
I have,
And that's the way I see it too, Lynn.
Yeah.
Is that, like, you have chosen what your strength is, but to be more whole and holy and more powerful, it's about balancing the things you're weak on. Those are the things you need to learn because you're already strong and talented in something. So then add the other thing, and that's what we should all be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what this young girl said to me yesterday, and I was like, I never thought of it this way. Because she asked me, because I dropped my dogs off to get groomed, and I think she's like 27. She grooms my dogs, but she's like, where are you off to today, Tony? And I said, I'm off to do an art show. And she's like, I follow you just because you do everything you want to do. She's like, you have such an interesting life and nothing stops you. But I never looked at it that way. I just, you know what I mean? I looked at it as that you only have one time. This is it. Like Hawk was saying, we only have a very short time. And to live it not like you want to live it is a crime, I feel. You need to, whatever problem there is, I think we can get over or grieve about it, you know, getting back to grief. And we need to shut it off and figure out a way to move forward and not waste time.
Absolutely. That's great. When I was at my darkest moments with depression and anxiety, But as I was already awakened and figuring it out, getting messages, what I learned was my depression and anxiety were meant to be actual pushes towards doing something. And so I came up with the phrase, if you're stuck in any negative, fearful emotion, strategize a plan to get out of it and then implement it.
Okay, I don't, if you guys don't mind, I'm going to add my notes on this. And then we've got, I'm pretty sure that's Kimberly waiting patiently in the chat.
Yeah.
And we've got Jessica in the chat room. But I just wanted to, I wrote down resist, persist. So that which we resist will persist. It's just the way that works. So the more you fight it, the more it comes on. I just wanted to talk about anger being a very natural part of grief. I think a lot of people, they're angry, and it will pass, but feel that anger because it's a valid emotion. It doesn't make you a lesser person or a weak person. It just is part of the human condition.
Yeah.
And the letting go part is, we don't have a choice, right? Anticipatory grief can happen when the loss hasn't occurred yet, but it's going to occur. Now, we had Nicole on last week. That's why I was thinking about anticipatory grief. Just to know that, you know, it's something we can't avoid. And if you're freaking out about it, look at those feelings. Observe your feelings, whatever they are, because they're all valid. And that's how we grow towards healing. If you guys will bear with me, I just want to read a Buddhist parable.
Yeah.
It's the story of the mustard seed. And I remember this whenever I have to go through a loss and I'm grieving and I remind myself. So it revolves around a woman named Kisa Gotami who lived during the time of the Buddha's life. Kisa's only child, a very young son, had died. Unwilling to accept his death, she carried him from neighbor to neighbor and begged for someone to give her medicine to bring him back to life. One of her neighbors told her to go to the Buddha, located nearby, and asked if he had a way to bring her son back to life. Bringing the body of her son with her, Kisa found Buddha and pleaded with him to help bring her son back to life. He instructed her to go back to the village and gather mustard seeds from the households of those who have never been touched by death. From those mustard seeds, he promised he would create a medicine to bring her son back to life. Relieved, she went back to the village and began asking her neighbors for the mustard seeds. All of her neighbors were willing to give her the mustard seeds, but they all told her that their households had been touched by death. They told her the living are few, but the dead are many. As the day became evening and then night, she was still without any of the mustard seeds that she had been instructed to collect. She realized then the universality of death. According to the Buddhist verse, her story comes from, according to the Buddhist verse, her story comes from, she said, it's not just a truth for one village or town, nor is it a truth for a single family, but for every world settled by God's, it is indeed, and people, it is indeed what is true, impermanence. So with this new understanding, her grief was calmed. She buried her son in the forest and then returned to Buddha. She confessed to Buddha that she could not obtain any of the mustard seeds he had instructed her to collect because she could not find even one house untouched by death. So there you go, kids. It's a good thing to remember that it's not personal. You know?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, absolutely. Okay. Now we have Kimberly waiting on the line and I want to bring her on. Hi, Kimberly.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Nice to hear you.
Good.
Thanks for patience. We've been yakking on here. Now, did you want to add anything to the conversation, love, about grief or any thoughts you had on the subject?
I think when it comes to grief, I've learned from my experience, it comes in layers.
So
yes,
I had to make sure that whenever it came up, I just let it out, because that was the only way I could heal. Because I had to go to therapy for me to understand what grief was, because my therapist always told me it's like a roller coaster and you just have to deal with it. And the way you deal with it is to talk about it, write it out, and even talk to your loved ones, write letters. There's a process that he did with me called, EDMR. Anyway, it was eye desensitization. And, so that really worked for me as well when it came to my aunt and my mother, because I could go to a space and talk to them and go back to certain places and get an understanding of what happened. So that's what happened with me.
Yeah, wow. That's a good point. You know, if you need professional help, there's no shame in that. You know, you take the help where it works for you. Some people need medication. You know, whatever you need, you know, you do what you have to. Now, that's not to say you should, like, drink and smoke and get vapped out so you're not facing reality. Well, I mean, some people do self-medicate to stop feeling the pain.
Yeah.
And I will say that works perfectly for very short periods of time, and then you feel even worse. So, you know, it's probably, who am I to give advice? I know nothing. Okay.
<There you go. laughs> you are absolutely right. I mean, because like you said, people can numb it, but it's going to come up again. I remember John Edwards was saying in a video that if you don't deal with grief, grief is going to deal with you.
Whoa, right. That's
so
good.
You have to, I mean, because it could pronounce itself in a disease. Some people die from grief if they don't deal with it. So
you're right, Kimberly. That's very true. We didn't even talk about that. Unprocessed emotions can cause illness. They really can.
Yeah.
And again, that's not to say that it's anybody's fault. Like, people who are going through that might tend to blame themselves. But no, you know, it's how you deal with it. Wow, thank you. I'm really glad you put in your two cents there, because that's really good stuff. Yeah.
Thank you.
I bet you have a question like you'd like to ask this week.
No, I don't. Mm-hmm. I just want to hear from Spirit. Any messages from Spirit?
You got it. Yeah. Kim, again, I've had this before with you. I'm feeling flooded with that golden light that we talked about. I've seen it physically around people who are experiencing deep love. And I think I told you about this, a couple of friends of mine, when they were like madly crazy in love, and they got married, and they'd just gotten back from their honeymoon. And I was over to visit them, and I could see this golden light around them. It was amazing. I didn't know what it was at the time. This is way before I met Linda and started to learn some stuff. But I remember seeing it, and it's like, whoa, it was really cool. And I've seen it around, like, mothers with babies and fathers with babies and, you know, parents who are just, like, so in love with their children. I've seen that light around them. And again, just so Hawk doesn't worry, you're going to get there. It took me, I had to get there in stages, and I didn't see stuff like that easily.
Yeah.
So it comes to you slowly. So don't despair. You're getting there, bad, you know.
No despair here. I feel it.
Absolutely. So Kim, I feel like this is your, you know, your ancestors, your relatives, your loved ones in spirit are just like really, it's a beautiful light, and I've been seeing it around you lately. So, just bask in that beautiful energy because it's like they're just sending you love, and that love is strong, strong, strong. So anyway, go ahead. Is anyone picking up anything for Kimberly?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hi, Kimberly. This is Jessica.
Hi.
It is so, so cool. This is so validating from what Lynn was just talking about for you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so neat. This card depicts, the one that jumped out for you, depicts this being. It says nature spirits with golden light all the way around it.
Wow.
It's just beautiful. Yeah. So that, and it came out, and I was sitting here looking at this card while Lynn was talking. So it's just really, really neat. This card is about inspiration, contemplation. It says, the presence of God is everywhere. So if you feel disconnected ever from the divine, you're the one who left. Your nature spirits are beckoning you back to a place of awareness that reconnects you to your source. Oh, that's awesome. It's that golden light we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It says, do not allow your mind to isolate you in fear or get stuck dwelling on misery. Instead, go outside and take in just the natural world around you, the nature, which is a beautiful gift for you to enjoy. See the divine in all around you. Focus on the beauty, power, and holiness that nature affirms. Humbly surrender to this greatness of forces present in all things, including you. Your nature spirit's message, breathe in the divine. You are in God, and God is in you. Ooh, I love that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
That's what I got for you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So Kimberly, this is Tony. How are you?
Good.
I got
you?
The same thing. Good. I'm good. So it's funny because I got the light card too. I got the star ancestor. It says, follow the voice of your soul. And the star ancestors is a term for a light, being people who are dedicated to healing and the growth of the world. It says that you have a deeper purpose to your human journey. Not only were you born on purpose, you were born for a purpose. So it's that light around you, and then you're giving off that light to other people. And that brings me to, how is that going from the school? Because I feel that that's going really good. Did you find a lawyer, or are they working against those people that, yeah.
Yeah, so I found a lawyer, and mm-hmm. I thought I had a male at first, and then they switched it to a female. Appointment is July the 18th.
Oh, good. It's going to go really well. I see
awesome.
All of this light. Yeah, I that's the first thing I got when you started talking, was that you got the lawyer and that you have the right one. I think it's going to really help a lot of people. So keep on doing what you're doing.
All right.
Definitely
thank
your
you.
Life. You're welcome. You're welcome, Hawk or Marianne.
I can go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is Hawk. Hey, Kimberly, I'm so happy that you found a lawyer, and we had predicted it would be a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you for that confirmation, especially since you had a switch up, I guess, where you thought you were going to get a male. And your cards are so positive right now. So if you feel like you're living in grace or going with the flow of time, it's because you are. I see nothing but abundance, and including in the future too. So those feelings and thoughts that you're having right now, that's you manifesting this abundance, and keep that in mind, because that's how you get through, and just keep it up. You're right there.
Yep.
I'm just confirming what everyone else has said. Yeah, you are so welcome. And I'm happy for the confirmation back, by the way. So thank you so much.
Are you welcome?
We do have some. Marianne, did you go yet?
No, she didn't go.
Oh, no. No, I was just
Yeah, so hey, Kimberly. So
hey.
What I got for you is it's just saying to let go, so to manifest your desire, ask for what you want, and then release it to heaven and just let go. That's what
awesome.
I got. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Lovely awesome. Ride. Yeah. So, Elizabeth is having input. Now, I don't know if I need to talk about she's finally able to do what she wants, and it's nice to keep busy with what you like doing. That's nice. And I think so Elizabeth got the Six of Hearts, and she wishes she could send you a picture of it. It's a mermaid riding a seagull and helping all the other mermaids get out of the water. Their entangled arms spell out the initials J-A. She hasn't read yet what the card means, but to her, it's like she will be saving many, but not sure what the initials stand for. Absolutely correct, because what Kimberly's doing now, she's like doing a brave thing that's not just going to benefit her, but is going to help to change the status quo that we really have to, like this world, humans anyway. We've got to smarten up. Like, we're grown up now. We should be behaving ourselves, right? So we can't afford to stick around anymore. And so what Kimberly's doing is a hero's journey, as Joseph Campbell described. You're taking, because this is not easy on you. I know that. But you're doing it. And you are saving many. So that's really, really cool. Yeah, and Lydia says, and after reading the card, it is actually acutely or, I think she means accurate. Is that, she means accurate. Yeah. We speak Taipanese here. Oh, it's actually a stork. Okay, here we go. It's actually a stork. Oh, it's not a seagull that the mermaid is riding. It's a stork. Actually, storks have a heck of a meaning to them, and I can't remember what it is, but it's a very spiritual, symbolic totem animal. And the mermaids are tune in next week to find out what she's saying. And the mermaids are like, okay, well, all right. Oh. Are going to save the world. There you go, Kimberly. Like, this is so worth what you're doing, because you're helping people. It's like what they say, you know, you plant a fruit tree that you may not sit under or eat the fruit off. And if you can get to that point, you're actually starting to get it, right? We do it not just for ourselves, but for the world and for everyone. That's beautiful. Oh, wow. I feel so honored. I think we all feel pretty honored, Kimberly, to be following you on your journey. You're a brave soul, and I salute you.
Thank you.
The stork has a couple of meanings. It means it could be a physical baby. It means something is going to be born. But it could be a project coming to fruition. The stork bears great news. All will be well, happy, and protected. So
that's
kind of the same thing that you're,
Wow. There's great news. All will be well, happy,
and they're
protected.
Considered good luck. Yeah, and they're considered good luck. So I think that's just, that's awesome.
Yeah. And they're really cool looking birds, too. They look like the dinosaurs, right? Oh, wow. You're rocking it, Kimberly. Keep on rocking it.
Did Marianne go?
What's that? Marianne.
Did Marianne go?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I think we got everyone.
I did.
And so, Kimberly, like, I'm hoping you'll keep us posted on how it's going and share your journey with us. It's wonderful.
Of course, come on and share your wisdom. You always have a bit of wisdom for us when you come on. I love it. So.
Oh, yeah. One thing I found...
Thank you.
I just wanted to say, when I talk to Kimberly, when I do readings for her, there's a ton of stuff in her readings that actually I learned from. Like, I'm like, whoa, that pertains here. So I think we've got quite the team going on with Kimberly. She's got really good backup there in the spirit world.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you all. That was a great reading. Thank you.
So you're very
welcome.
Happy Sunday, and one happy 4th of July to you too.
Thank you. Happy great holiday to you all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lily. Love and light, hun. Okay, now we're going to.
I'm sure that's why we don't have a lot of callers today too, because it's 4th of July weekend and it's falling on Tuesday. So I think a lot of people are. It's like the busiest travel day so far of the year.
That's right. And everybody's eating hot dogs.
Sure.
Yeah. So
everybody's eating hot dogs. Yes.
Call in. The number is 646-564-9868. But we do have a question. We have Jessica from Australia in the chat room.
Awesome.
I think she's still in there. People keep getting, she's dropped off. But I'm still, we're still going to answer because she may be listening.
Yeah.
I've noticed that this chat room dumps people and then brings them back on, and I don't know what's going on. But anyway.
I actually have a card for Jessica, if it's okay if I go first.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, this popped out at me right after I started shuffling again after Kimberly. So I've had this card for about, 3 minutes or so. And this one is for Jessica. So if she's there and she's listening, this card is an epiphany card. It's about inspiration and breakthrough, revelation, divine guidance. Our higher self, even though we know it by that word, I kind of like to use the word, the words divine soul's essence. I've just always loved that word, but it's a part of us. Our higher self or divine soul's essence is a part of us. It's not connected. It's exposed with us. And this card says, congratulations. You're finally getting out of your head and connecting more directly with your soul. The flow of communication between you and your higher self is strengthening daily, allowing you to directly access your spirit guides, angels, and spirit teachers more readily. As your contact with your higher self deepens, answers will suddenly plop into your consciousness like gifts from above. Your aha moments will appear with greater frequency, like light bulbs switching on in your head. Over and over, you'll find yourself in the right place at the right time. Wow, that's really neat. I hope that resonated with her. That's what I got.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Whoever wants to go. Oh, wait a minute. I should read Jessica's question. Okay. So Jessica says, I've shared my adventure and I'm loving it. Thank you again for your guidance and encouragements, my angelic team. That's a nice thing to call us. Usually we're called Diablos, eh? I'm just calling. I'm just calling to see if my spirit team has any message for me. Also, am I meant to sell my car and get a van instead? That's the question. So while people are coming up with their answers or their messages, I overlooked Linda's message in the chat. I'm all over the place. I'm looking at like different things. So what I've done is I've copied and pasted the message in Kimberly's chat so that she will get it. And what Linda said is, there is someone you know that is going to need your healing advice. Be ready to listen and to advise them. You will form a friendship bond. Her dad is showing her that you are reaching down to take a hand to help pull them up to your level. Totally. Mm-hmm. That's the same spirit of the other readings.
Yeah,
she's helping others, which is so beautiful. Yeah. Okay,
before you even read the question, I drew a picture, a stick figure, because I'm not a good artist, of a girl with a hat on traveling into the sun. So I didn't even know, because I wasn't here last week when Jessica, so I didn't know anything about her. And then I wrote adventure on the bottom. So I didn't even know that she was doing an adventure. But I got yes on the card to the van, so she can go explore. Is what I got. So
yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else want to pop in?
Oh, and Linda said it's Happy UFO Day.
Oh, of course it is.
We should should get to Happy UFO Day later if we need to. I can add to this. I don't have a direct answer to the car or the van, but my message is about what she should be channeling as she goes on her new adventure, and that is the Page of Swords, which represents new ideas, curiosity, thirst for knowledge, and new ways of communicating. So it goes along with you starting your adventure and being this kind of young, mindful person about what's happening and trying new things. But it does lead to a reminder of the Temperance card. Just know that things take balance, they take moderation, they take patience, and they take purpose. So on your adventure, you will have moments that might be tough, and maybe that seems like it's not the holy thing that you thought you were getting into, but it is. It's a part of the lesson. So learn your temperance, and then in the future, I see King of Pentacles, which could either be a person or just a bunch of abundance in your future.
That's great. Yeah. Well, I'll chime in here again. I wrote down Van Gogh. It's like somebody's joking around, like Van Gogh.
Beautiful.
So I'm going to add to a yes with the van question. And I also want to give you the meaning of the penguin, which came in as a spiritual animal for this question. Penguin symbolizes friendliness, community, and determination. They are also persistent and innovative. They face many obstacles in their environment, but they overcome them. They are an ideal representative of positive change and adaptability. And the penguin is letting you know that it is usually the most chaotic before a big breakthrough happens. So, Jessica, I think you're probably still listening. So have a look online. Just type in spiritual meaning of the penguin. And I think, yes, we have Elizabeth here. She got the Three of Crystals, three gnome children, like gnomes as in garden gnomes. Children play jump rope with a little bunny watching. They are in their cherry orchard yard, and they live in a tree in the background. The number three means group activity, communication, and joy. Cool. Get to know families, children in your neighborhood. Share your life with like-minded people, people who cherish and respect the way of life, your way of life. Now would be a great time to work on your self-confidence and personal resources. Remember to play. Very important. Really important. Remember to play. That's great, Elizabeth. Thank you.
That was beautiful. I feel like that confirmed what I was saying. So I appreciate you, Lynn and Mom.
No, it does. It's great. Something, whoever, Marianne, have you? Thank you. Yeah. Go ahead, love.
Okay.
I think Jessica
was trying to say something.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. No, I was just saying Jessica was trying to say something. Oh, okay. Yes,
joined
this
us on the line.
Oh, I know. I'm so sorry. There's a lot of buggy.
No, I'm just teasing it today. Fine. It's okay. I'm just making a joke.
Linda says for Jessica in chat, look up, look all around, observe and discern. You will know at each step where to go next.
And it says here you're hearing that tone in your ear. That's you, Jessica. Hello.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was just on mute. Yeah, I had a really, really high-pitched tone in my right ear. It was a little deafening,
It lasted for about a full minute. Just, wow.
Well, Linda, I just said to, for you to ask them to tone it down a bit. We get that. Like, that's going to happen, right? And again, you sort of go, like, have I got an inner ear problem or no? Because you can sort of tell the difference, right?
I do believe that this is a toning or a tuning from spirit for sure.
Mm-hmm. It is, mm-hmm. Yeah. You can tell the difference after a while.
Yes, you can.
Mary Ann, did we hear from you yet?
Oh, no. The message that I got was is just tell you not to stop. Saying this is not a time to give up. Continue to move in the direction of your hopes and dreams because you're on the right path. And it says that you should progress as long as you stay the course. And it's very important, though, to stand your ground and believe in yourself and don't let others intimidate you into quitting on your journey. And just because they don't have your vision doesn't mean you shouldn't follow your heart.
Nice.
So that's what I got. Yeah.
Well, now who have we missed? Anyone? I think we got everyone on that. We got
everyone.
Good. I'm always. I thank you for checking the other chat. I've got two chats on the go here, and so I'm all confused.
You're doing
There's,
great.
Yeah,
you're doing
she
fantastically.
Thank you. Part of that winging it, eh? So Jessica came back. She's in the conversation. Did you hear, Jessica, what everyone said?
I'm going to ask her on chat right now. Did you get our message? Just
oh,
in
yeah,
case.
Maybe I'm listening. Yeah.
I didn't put Jessica in the first.
But it's something that Elizabeth
so
made
I do want to talk about UFO Day. I didn't realize that that was right now, but that makes sense because the convention's going on in Roswell. But has anyone heard the newest news? And this might have been what my uncle, Tony, and my mother's brother had been alluding.
No. I mean,
there is huge news where a intelligence officer has made an official complaint to the inspector general, and the inspector general found his claim to be both credible and urgent. And now this whistleblower and others have been having meetings with Congress. So actually the elected officials explaining what the complaint concerns. And the big point is that he said the U.S. government has actual non-human intelligence craft and has been hiding it from the public. And this is what's being investigated right now. So disclosure might actually be upon us now. And so if anyone doubts the UFOs and aliens have been here, especially since the Roswell incident, start doing your research. Start listening to the people that have been saying the same story for over 75 years. Like, it's time.
I would like to ask Linda's permission. Oh, she's just saying the government has been back engineering the technology for decades. Oh, no doubt at all they've been hiding it from the people. And but I want to know, Linda, if I can have your permission to tell the story about the little piece of... Linda's been... she's been... what's the word? Not abducted. It sounds so awful, but Linda's been in contact with aliens forever.
Oh, it temporarily removed from her location.
Yeah.
That's one of those things that I learned through research was I actually got to spirituality through aliens and studying and reading about them. And what's cool is that you go down that path, they lead to spirituality. And then if you go through spiritual routes, you will find aliens at some point. And what I learned, and this is a lot from Dolores Cannon's books, The Convoluted Universe. She also did books that focus on experiences of extraterrestrials in many other books, including The Custodians and Keepers of the Garden. But what you find is those that are being abducted are actually being taken by their star families, people that are close to them soul-wise in different incarnations. And again, often soul contracts were made to come be these people in these human bodies that are actually more closely related to beings not necessarily from Earth at this time.
Wow.
And so it's kind of a beautiful thing. Who else talks about it? I just forgot his name, but he wrote Communion, and Whitley Strieber. He also talks about how his experiences went from very scary to very loving and awakening. And after his wife passed, he now feels like he has a full-on relationship with her because of the visitors, as he calls them. I don't know if anyone wants to add to that.
Linda's going to call in because I hate doing this story secondhand. Now, we do have another caller as well. This is getting exciting. I may have to extend the time. Okay, so I'll just write to her. We're standing by for her call. Bye. Okay, whoops.
Is she any of those numbers?
Bye. No, she's a 208 number.
Oh, yeah, right, 208.
Unless something changed, yeah. Oh, there she is. There we go.
Yep.
Excellent, Linda. There we are.
Hey, Linda.
Yeah, I thought you could probably do this in first person because my memory, I might gap out and not include the whole story. So please, share this experience. It's amazing.
Well, it started when I was about age 8. I was asleep. And my mom came in, tapped me on the shoulder and said, look out your bedroom window. I'm like, what? I looked out there. There was a circular thing with like Christmas lights floating over the park behind our house. I don't remember much after that. I guess I woke up the next day, and that began my journey with my contact with the ET, star family, as I call them, star cousins. But I've had a lifelong experience with them. I've been visited by them. I actually have video of some in my home, which I shared with Lynn. And they do. They help me a lot with upgrades, downloads, all of it. I believe that they're responsible for a lot of the abilities I've had over my lifetime. Now, I come from the Pleiades. My dad, funny we should be talking about him again, after he passed a few months later, took me to see where I originated from. Beautiful place. Everything, it was like an atrium, and there were two suns that I could see through the top of the atrium. And you could walk in these little troughs of water, which were healing crystalline waters, I do believe. And you needed to rest. You could sit down on these stations where you go up to your knees in water. And everyone there, it would look just like everyone on planet Earth, all different heights and different ethnicities. The only thing was none of them were obese. So I believe that was a time on the Pleiades where everyone was in perfect physical health. It's just been great. And today is World UFO Day, the anniversary of the Roswell crash. But anything you want to ask, I can share with you.
Yeah, that little
piece of metal. I would love to ask.
Yeah,
but Lynn, go first, because it started with what you brought up. And yeah, the piece of metal is interesting. I also would like to say that you confirmed the whole star family thing that I was bringing up.
Yeah.
And I love
right
that.
Right away. Yeah, she confirmed it right away. Yeah.
You still have that video, right? Sorry, we're babbling that on top of each other, but Linda does have a video. It's very cool. And I don't blame them for
only... my home.
Yeah. I think they sense, it's like animals sense that they can go up to some people and they will be safe. And I think they sense that your family energy is safe.
They know
here. Something I was just watching, so in Utah we have many, many sightings. The Star Walker Ranch is one of them. No, not Star Walker.
Skinwalker.
But any
Skinwalker.
Skinwalker Ranch. Yeah, that's not far from us. But another one, and the person was, it was in Colorado, and it was a ranch, kind of like the Skinwalker Ranch, but they were the same age, Linda. She came back to figure everything out because it's always been a part of her life, and she feels that she's always been in contact with them also. And when she came back to the ranch, which was just a couple of months ago, they came back to see her, and it was very strong while she was there. She was also 8 years old when that happened.
Yeah. That seems to be the average age, I think, for most.
Yeah. Yeah. So she was, it actually helped her because she thought she was crazy all these years, and they reached out to her and because nobody would believe her. So Skinwalker guys reached out to her, and they, it's similar experiences that they had. So that's cool that, you know, that happened.
And as far as metal goes, I actually had an implant from the time, I guess, when I was 8 years old, put in my upper left jaw. And it came out in 2008. And I remember it was like almost a cube-shaped thing. And it had weird markings on it. And I set it down because I was going to go wash it up and put it in a baggie or something. And when I came back, it was gone. It disappeared. It, like, it disintegrated, or they took it by apportation or whatever. It's like, we can't let this technology roam around Earth, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. I love that.
That is so cool.
That's amazing.
All right. I would love to ask questions.
Okay.
Linda, is it a specific star that your star family is from?
Pleiades. I'm a Pleiadian.
I love that. They're the seven sisters, and most Pleiadians look like us, right?
Yeah, they look like everyone on Earth. The only difference was I didn't see anyone that was underweight or overweight. So I think their perfect physical health is aligned.
And is that because they feel or they are more whole with the yin-yang energies within themselves?
Oh, sure. They know how to heal themselves. If anything should go wrong, they know how to use the energies through what we call Reiki-type energy, because they came to Jim one time and tried to heal him. He didn't like it too well and asked me to ask him to leave him alone. But, yeah, they keep everything aligned to all of the energy centers of the body.
Wow.
That's beautiful. And you were talking about maybe one specific being, like, more upfront, or like your host or caretaker?
Yeah, I call him Chaz. I think that's the name he relates to. He was actually here in my house, and I got video of him. And you could
actually see him.
He was about 4'9 or 4'10 in height. He had those very large eyes. And he started moving backwards in my kitchen in the video. And eventually, when it was time to go, he just sort of disintegrated. He just went right into what seems non-existence, but I guess it was just a lowering of the density that he needed to stay in order to be here to visit me in the physical and get video.
Wow. Yeah, that makes sense to me. So I'll explain that through my research, I've learned that most of the beings, especially the Pleiadians, are going to be fifth dimensional or higher. And so often it is talked about where, they have to increase their density. They have to slow down and basically project part of themselves into three dimensions. And that's so cool. I love it. Question, when you were younger, did they have one form? And then as you became more aware and mature, did the form change?
Well, they started out looking like Roswell Grays, and I think that's because they are aligned with the Roswell Grays, the Zeta Reticulans. They work together, actually.
Yes.
You know, the Zeta Reticulans are actually doctors in their own right. If
you're
familiar with Fire in the Sky, the story of that, with Travis Walton, he was healed by them before they turned him loose. He didn't go through all the stuff that they say in the movie. He came out later and admitted that they were actually healing him.
Yeah. You used to have Steve Steve, oh, I've forgotten his last name.
Pierce.
Steve Pierce, yes. You used to have him on your show when you were,
Unseen
I guess.
Unseen World, yeah.
Unseen World, that's right. You had Steve Pierce. I'm actually a member of the crew that experienced. He wasn't taken, but he was on the crew that observed it happening and was,
right.
They were, oh, those poor guys. Like, the movie is a little Hollywoodized, I think.
Very.
But our human counterparts were really cruel to these guys. I mean, they're telling the truth, and they were almost charged with murder. Treated like crap by the establishment. And also we talk about that woo-woo thing. They're not going to appear to the general public because they're probably going to get shot at, you know? I think they're being very discreet as to, you know, where they show up and who they show up to. So, absolutely.
Oh, I had that thing over my house. They tried to help me. I was on one time with Unseen World. There was something going wrong with the studio. And they were right over my house trying to fix it. And all of a sudden, all these jets were dispatched from Mountain Home. And they took off, and from Mountain Home were chasing them over my house. And then they came back slowly, like, oh, well, we didn't find anything, you know, kind of slow. So they definitely warped out of this dimension in a hurry, but not before Mountain Home jets were right over my house, too.
Well, one of my astral visits to your space at Morningstar County, there's that beautiful cabin, right? And there was that party going on. And the ships went overhead, and I'm, like, blowing my own mind. It's like, whoa. Like, you can't describe the experience. I think they were just on parade. They were at the party, and they were just, you know, almost like the bikers might show off their motorcycles. They were flying overhead formation. Completely silent. It was majestic. It was freaking majestic. I was blown away. And I hope you guys can make it to Morningstar County. I think Linda's offered an invitation. But... It's a wonderful spot, and we'll have
Lynn,
to. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Lynn, do you remember when James Van Prague had to cancel his cruise to the Middle East?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I had a discussion with the Star family, and I actually agreed to help them out in Astro. He said it came back on, and he didn't want to go into detail. He just knew that we'd be safe. That's because we met with him and let him know that we would be watching over him in shifts. There would be 24-hour observation over the cruise ship to make sure nothing happens.
Wow. You guys have the Secret Service beat all to hell.
You're so cool.
I want to include Elizabeth's words here. Living in Boulder, Colorado, we went to a harmonic conversion, and I always felt that it was beyond our worldly connections. And then she asked Linda, are you able to do that, Linda, to keep your health in check? And she's enjoying this conversation, and we do have a taped version of it. All of Blog Talk shows are taped. They're in our archive. It would be great on our YouTube channel or something. And she's saying we all need to agree. But I think what we're saying is we need to have like a whole show or a series of shows on this because it's really important. And also to treat the whole thing with respect because part of the reason they do hide this stuff from the general public is panic and fear is something that we have to contend with. So
They don't
and
also, fear. It feels
no,
too
no,
heavy.
Imagine humans panic and fear. You know what I mean? We're going to go all like Plan 9 from outer space or something. And, get them. Oh, dear. No wonder they don't avoid showing
up. Maybe that's why we lost our two callers.
Oh, did we really? Oh, well, that's fine. We had 203. Waiting, but if they've been dropped, they can call back, or if we're just too woo-woo for your head, that's okay too. I no longer fear what, you know, other people think about it because I had seen it. Yeah. And it's once you see it, you can't, you know, whatever.
You can't unsee it.
Unsee it. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's lovely. We got a lovely telepathy that goes on in this group. And because I very often my brain starts to overload and starts to smoke, and people will jump in and give you the words you're looking for. I just love it.
Yes, it's so cool.
Yeah.
It is. I'm going to back off here and get back to work. I took a quick break.
Thank you.
Let's do a show in the future.
Yeah,
okay.
Please.
Look at for
thank
a
you
day
so
you're
much.
You just... This is the tip of the iceberg, Hawk. I think the two of you will talk. You'll have to connect the two of you. And we will.
I'll also put videos on our chat.
That's true.
Perfect.
Hawk finally joined our chat so we can all talk amongst ourselves. They will experience it in the future when they wake up. Yes, exactly, Elizabeth. There's a lot of us aren't ready. It's like one guy isn't getting it, so the whole class has to stay after school, right? So waiting for the ones that need to wake up.
It's okay.
Yep.
And they'll do it in their time. And I would like to help because I went through moments of fear when I was accepting the new reality that's coming our way. And that's natural. That's your ego. It's okay. See it for what it is. But basically, the idea of encountering something that might be more advanced than us is new.
Yeah.
And it's scary. But remember that most of the stories end up being very positive, and they end up saying we're their children. And so they're actually looking out for us. Again, if you're going to start your research, don't do a little. You need to do a lot to really see what's been hidden, but I'm sure it's all going to come out. And just know that if you are scared, that's okay. But at the end of it, they're taking care of us too.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's quite amazing. And I think we will definitely arrange to have some shows on this. It's a great branch. There's so many branches in metaphysics that we can explore. We will never run out of subject matter.
No.
Yes. And quantum physics is really helping us see what the spiritual philosophers for thousands of years were trying to explain and the things that we've all kind of sensed. And now we're actually going to get that yang mind, like this is how science says this thing is expressed in physical. And this physical might be a little lighter than we thought it was.
I think Walt Whitman, was it William Blake? I think it's William Blake. He said that to see the world in a grain of sand and a heaven in a wildflower, hold infinity in the palm of your hand and eternity in an hour. Dude was talking about quantum physics.
Wow.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure it was Blake. I get those two mixed up. But so Elizabeth is leaving, but thank you, Elizabeth. It's lovely to have you on. And she's going to try to call in next Sunday. Cool.
Okay.
I'm going to add a link to anybody that's still listening out there and wants it. It's the full interview with David Grush.
Oh, good.
And there's more on there. There's actually senators, including Marco Rubio, who have come on camera with this news station to say, we're meeting with these people, we have been meeting with these people, and whatever it is they're talking about needs to be investigated.
No way.
So there's more confirmation. Yes, it is happening now. So face that fear.
I hope the intelligent people involved are the ones to deal with it, because this is like way beyond politics.
And I would like to point out to all humans on the planet that would you want to be a part of America's Space Force or whatever country you hail from Space Force, or would you rather be a part of Earth's Space Force? And so this is a call for unity among humans so that we can identify as one as we interact with many.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have shared your link, Hawk, on the Enter the Light page and on in our little chat there.
Beautiful. I love it. It's
give
it a chance and be scared if you need to, but examine why you're scared.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, fear is only it's just a signal to examine something, you know?
Yep. It's something that you're carrying. It's something that is a part of you that you should feel and name and then let it go.
Yeah, because hanging on to fear does make us weak. I remember watching this thing on a guy that did he changed the light bulbs in the tops of the microwave towers. So he had to climb way up. And the guy interviewing him said, "Don't you get afraid?" The guy goes, "Fear makes us weak." I would say that it's not the fear that makes us weak. It's not handling the fear in an appropriate manner that makes us weak. Like, you know,
not learning.
Absolutely. And avoid a resistance and avoiding the truth of the matter. Again, we go back to the numbing. We can self-medicate and numb, but it doesn't make it go away. It just gives you a temporary respite from that. So,
when you were talking about that stuff, I view it always as an escape, which is not a facing.
Yes.
And you can escape as long as you want, but you're right. It only makes the hole deeper. And this is coming from my own beautiful experiences.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
No, we've all been there, you know, like we try stuff that doesn't work and then we go, "Hey, this isn't working." And then we try something else. And that's how we grow, you know. It's okay to make mistakes. Yeah. It doesn't make you a bad guy. It just makes you a human. Very good.
Yep.
An interesting looking article. Wow. Okay. So we'll stand by to create a show or even a sequence of shows on this subject. We're talking about like adding another show to the Sacred Embers lineup. So this would be a really good one.
Awesome. Yeah. It would be. Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely. I just want to share a thing about Shannon Johnson's trans channeling course that she's finally an agenda, I guess, or a fingered it out there. Okay. So it begins Tuesday, August 1st at 12 p.m. Eastern. Mm-hmm. And it's about a 2-hour course. The class meets Tuesdays and Saturdays for 6 consecutive weeks. So if you sign up for the course, you're making a commitment, and so you'll be doing, you know, she's going to expect you to, like, commit and do your best. It'll be held by Zoom, and it will require a camera and a microphone, a connection to the Internet. She's got an
What's
early
the date again?
Session. Oh, it's going to be starts August 1st at 12 p.m. Eastern. So that's
12 p.m.
And 10 o'clock for you guys and 9 o'clock for the West Coast.
Yeah.
And now she's offering an early bird special until July 15th, and that's $150 for the 6-week course. We said 6 weeks, yeah. Oh, yeah, this woman is worth it. She knows her stuff. Yeah. She's, if you want a good teacher, Shannon's one of the best go-tos. And if you don't take up the early bird special, then it'll be $225. And you can find information. I'm looking at how to get there. You can send inquiries to ladyastral67@hotmail.com. But you can go to Shannon Johnson Metaphysical Practitioner. What is it? No, she's a metaphysical facilitator. There you go. What is Linda saying about mostly non-physical forms floating in my kitchen? He's talking about the little dude.
Yeah.
Chad. Chaz or Chad? I can't remember now.
Chaz.
Yeah. I think that's... Okay,
I love it. I want to talk to them.
Oh, I really... Okay, here's why she's saying that. She's posted her video in our chat, in our little Enter the Light chat. Mm-hmm. So you guys can check that out after we're done. Yeah, so Shannon Johnson, Metaphysical Facilitator. She's on Facebook. You can't miss her. And she's also to be found on the Sacred Embers website. So, yeah, I think we're... That's good, kids. I did extend the time a little bit. I don't think we have any more. Excuse me. I'm stretching out here. Yeah, I think we have no more callers for today. But that's cool. It's July 4th and so forth and all that stuff. May the 4th be with you. Sorry about that. Oh, I deserve a smack for that one. All right. Anyway, let's go around the table. Unless anyone has any thoughts, any last thoughts or feelings or recipes they want to share. All right. Well, listen, Tony, why don't you tell people how they can find you?
Sure. You can find me on my website, site.com, or on my Facebook page, Tony Jorgensen, Twitter at Tony KJ, Instagram at Tony KJ, Facebook, Tony Jorgensen, and Enter the Light and Sacred Embers. I'm on there too.
Fabulous. Okay.
Thank you.
Marianne? Mm-hmm. Marianne, how can you be found?
Oh, yeah. Well, I am just Marianne Adams on Facebook. That's it.
Sweet and simple. I always make you say it anyway. But Jessica, where are you in Sweden?
My name is Jessica Tatro. You can find me under that name on Facebook, and then we and in the Sacred Embers website page. And I also have a Facebook group called Jaden's Way Speaks.
Fabulous. Hawk? Mm-hmm. Oh, I know you're in the process of making a website.
Yes. My name is Hawk D'Onofrio, a.k.a. Aquarius the Seeker, and I am working on a website. I've been mentioning that I'll have my own projects in the future, and they are coming. But for now, I will be found here.
Yeah, we can always get a message. We can pass a note in class. And Elizabeth can be found at www.elizabethdonofrio.com. And if you're looking for, she is a psychic. She does readings and whatnot, but she's also a voice teacher. I think she teaches acting. She's all things acting. So you can get in touch with her if you have any questions about that. Not everyone except me, because I'm trying not to miss people. Oh, Linda.
Yeah.
Okay, so Linda's, you can find her at Linda Irwin on YouTube, and that's got a little yellow smiley face. You can't miss it, Linda Irwin. And she's also one of the moderators at the forum living.ai. And that's all about the little emo robots. And that's what the voice, when Linda was on call today, that's who you could hear chittering in the background. I thought it was birds for a minute, and then I went, no, it's the bots. We have a new member. Yeah, we have a new visitor in the chat room, too. Zazie, I think. Did you have anything you wanted to ask? Because we're about to wrap up, but we can certainly do a question if you want. Latecomers, help yourself to the tequila and donuts in our green room. And then... I scared her away, or them away. Do that a lot. Sorry, man. Okay, well, you know what? I think then we're going to wrap up. I'm taking a little break from reading right now, so I won't put my website out there, but you can connect with me on Facebook. And, oh, so sacredembersshow@gmail.com is our email account. And sacredembersshow.wixsite.com/love is our website. So, yeah, and I'll be getting you on there, Hawk. I've got at least a photo, but we'll get you in there as soon as we can. Yeah. Ah, that was an amazing, amazing show, you guys. Thank you so much.
Yep, thank you.
Yeah. I feel like our team is going to be expanding, and we're looking at starting some extra shows up. And so stand by, watch for all these things that are growing, and have a beautiful week, you guys. Happy 4th of July. Happy UFO Day. And thank you to this great team, and thanks to our listeners. Have a beautiful week.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. Like much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.